All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory. Ashetra Gyaya. Unto the one who knows everything of the external body. Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to Bhyam, unto you. Sarva, everything. Adhyakshaya, who are superintending, managing. Satchine, who are the witness, Paramatma, or Antaryami. Purushaya, the Supreme Person. Atmamulaya, who are the original source of everything. Mula Prakritaye, unto the Purusha Avatara, the origin of Prakriti and Pradhana. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. So, translation, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the super soul, the superintendent of everything, and the witness of all that occurs. You are the Supreme Person, the origin of material nature and of the total material energy. You are also the owner of the material body. Therefore, you are the Supreme Complete. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the Bhagavad Gita, the 13th chapter, text 3, the Lord says, Kshetra Yam Chabimam Vidhi Sarva Kshetre Shubharata. O sign of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. Every one of us is thinking, I am this body, or this is my body. But actually, the truth is different. Our bodies are given to us by the Supreme Proprietor, the living entity who is also Kshetra Gya, or the knower of the body, is not the body's only proprietor. The actual proprietor of the body is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Kshetra Gya. For example, we may rent and occupy a house, but actually the owner of the house is the landlord. Similarly, we may be allocated a certain type of body as a facility with which to enjoy this material world. But the actual proprietor of the body is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is called Sarva Yaksha, because everything in the material world works under his supervision. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, text 10, wherein the Lord says, Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate satyaracharam. This material nature working under my direction, O son of Kunti, is producing all moving and unmoving beings. From Prakriti, or material nature, come so many varieties of living entities, including aquatics, plants, trees, insects, birds, animals, human beings, and demigods. Prakriti is the mother, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the father, Aham Vija Prada Pitaha. Prakriti can give us material bodies, but as spirit souls, we are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter, text 7. Mamivamso jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. The living entity, being part and parcel of God, is not a product of this material world. Therefore, the Lord is described in this verse as Atma Mula, the original source of everything. He is the seed of all existences, Vijamam Sarvabhutanam. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 14th chapter, text 4, the Lord says, Sarvajyoni Shukontiya Murtiya Sambhavantiyaha Tasam Ramamahad Yonir Aham Vija Prada Vita. It should be understood that all living entities and all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. Plants, trees, insects, aquatics, demigods, beasts, birds, and all other living entities are sons or parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. But because they are struggling with different mentalities, they have been given different types of bodies. Mana shastani indriyani prakriti shtani karshati. Thus they have become sons of prakriti, or material nature, which is impregnated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every living entity in this material world is struggling for existence, and the only salvation or relief from the cycle of birth and death in the evolutionary process is full surrender. This is indicated by the word Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So, Kshetragyaya namastubhyam sarvadyakshaya sakshane purushayatma mulaya mula prakritaye namaha. So, Om Ganat Mirandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, in one sense, we can say that Durga is our mother, because we are identifying with this body. As Prabhupada says here, when one identifies with the body, you can actually consider the material nature to be your mother. And of course, your father, in that particular context, is Lord Shiva. Because Krishna, it's described, never comes in contact, or Lord Vishnu, or any of the Vishnu Tattva expansions, never come in contact with the material nature. Krishna never touches the material nature. At the beginning of the creation, of course, you have the Mahavishnu breathing out, and all the universes come out in seed form from his pores and from his breath. And then he glances at the material energy. It's called Saikshita. And that glance is known as Shambhu, or Shiva. And Shiva consorts, that means he has a relationship with Maya. And therefore, through that glance, all the different living entities that are lying in a dormant state within the body of the Mahavishnu, because at the time of dissolution, then they become impregnated within the material world. And the Lord remembers their previous encagement and engagement, two words, encagement and engagement. Encagement means we're in a cage, and engagement means the activities of the material world and their previous desires, and they get appropriate bodies. Just like it's described in the Gita, how just like the air carries aromas from one place to another, then the subtle body carries the conceptions of life from one gross body to another. So in the case of the cosmic creation, there is no subtle body, but Krishna arranges through the agency of the material energy for the subtle body to be created, and therefore, whatever you were doing in your past life, you continue in this life. And you have a particular body that is associated with particular modes of nature. Karanam gunasangasha sadasad Janma, Jonisu. The material nature is comprised of the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And by contact with these three modes, we become conditioned. Karanam, Guna, Sangasha, Sadasad, Janma, Jonisu. So each and every one of us, we were born with a particular combination of modes of material body. And of course, this is very much tying in with the conception of Varnashram. Varnashram means, the word Varna basically means color. So ashram, of course, means ashraya, a shelter, which is very interesting, because you have this different brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, and these are ashrams, or shelter from the material energy, if one properly executes. But anyway, as far as the varna is concerned, we have a particular combination of the three modes. It's like the three basic colors, red, blue, green, or yellow, whatever the three colors are. You can combine the three colors, the primary colors, in different ways to achieve any color of the spectrum. So what you see here, looking at everybody's body, you know, in this room, which is interesting, you could do an analysis. You could, like, Gargamuni's body has so many percent goodness, so many percent passion. Probably, should I insult you and say this in English? But, you know, anyway, there's some other combinations there. Anyways, so you get everything in the material world, you can analyze like that. Like the colors, you can analyze that so many percent green, so many percent yellow, so many percent red. And then you can understand the different colors. And then an artist, of course, takes the three colors and combines them in a palette, and he's able to paint, he or she is able to paint different pictures. So a devotee should see like that, that it's only the modes acting. Even when it's within our own body, we have to come to the point of really being the Kshetragya. Actually, this word Kshetragya could be understood in different ways, according to Srila Prabhupada's presentation in the Bhagavad Gita. In one sense, the Kshetragya means the knower of the field, is Krishna. In another sense, it may be even sometimes the conditioned soul, but in another sense, it's the liberated soul. Because the conditioned soul, in other words, what he knows is the body. So that's Kshetragya. But he doesn't really know the truth of the body. So this is interesting in Bhagavad Gita, because you find Prabhupada presenting this word Kshetragya in different contexts, isn't it? So he doesn't know in truth what the body is, so he's not really Kshetragya. Like if I think this chair is a table, I'm not the knower of this chair. In one sense, I know the chair, but I'm misinterpreting it, so I'm not really the knower of the chair. Does everybody understand that example? So the living entity is, in the pure state, he's actually the knower of the body. And being the knower of the body, he's able to function on the platform of intelligence. And the Bhagavad Gita describes, the liberated soul sees while the body is, you know, eating, sleeping, evacuating, or doing whatever it's doing, he knows he's not doing anything. But unfortunately, due to our conditioning, we think that we're doing these things. It's just like this modern understanding of virtual reality. I don't know if any of you heard about this before. No one's heard about it before. Well, virtual, anyway, I'll explain so you get a little science information here. So virtual reality is the latest thing in technology. That you put on these glasses that, anyway, and the glasses are like little TV screens in each eye. Right? You've heard about it, Gargamuni? See, he knows. He's the real knower of technology. What is that? Yantragya, the knower of machine. Anyways, so And then there are some sensors in this thing you put on you, and you move around, and it appears that you're in a particular environment. And so you're thinking that you're somewhere, but you're actually not somewhere. I remember one time, actually I did this one time, many years ago. I went with one of my godbrothers, Jai Pataka Maharaj, because you should always have devotional association when you do something in Maya. But anyway, so, no, we were going to see different possible exhibits for the Vedic Planetarium in Mayapur. So we went to these different companies to see things. And, you know, obviously this is a good way to display the spiritual world. You know, you go on a voyage to the spiritual world, wow, you're there. So anyway, so we went there, and actually I was using these things and I got sick, because I was thinking, you know, I was in a spaceship going somewhere and it was rocking. I had to take them off, so I was getting sick. So in the same way, in the material energy, we're identifying the body and we're getting materially sick. I'm not talking about, you know, a virus or, you know, red eye disease like everybody has now. But you think it's rocking when you're not rocking. That's the point. So you're identifying with the body. So one who is on the pure state, then he's not identifying with the body. He sees the body's doing all these things. Just like, you know, if I was on the pure state, I would see the body lifting the hands, moving the mouth. And I'm just operating it, just like a machine. Yantra, Rudani Mayaya. Actually, this is a statement in the Bhagavad Gita. Ishwara Sarvabhutanam. Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati. Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantra, Rudani Mayaya. The living entity is situated in the machine made of the material energy. And the Ishwara, that means Krishna, is in the heart directing the wanderings of the living entity. So, how do we get out of this bodily identification and become real Kshetrajna? That's the question. That means developing the intelligence, not the brain. You know, I'm pointing to the brain, but that's not what I'm meaning. And the intelligence is higher than the mind is higher than the brain, because we have to make a distinguishment between the brain and the intelligence. The intelligence is the factor when one is Krishna conscious, we're talking about Krishna conscious intelligence, whereby one can discriminate. It's the discriminating faculty. So Krishna consciousness means to make the intelligence strong. How do you make the intelligence strong? Spiritually, you have studying of Srila Prabhupada's books, the philosophy, associating with devotees, practicing the philosophy, and above all, preaching the philosophy. When you speak something, we were talking yesterday to Garga Muni about this, when you listen to a course, you learn maybe 5%. Just like all of you are sitting here listening to me giving Bhagavatam class. After class, if I ask you, what did I say? You'll say, it was a very nice class, Maharaj. I said, but what did I say? Well, maybe you'll say, well, you talked about Kshetrajna. I mean, that's about it. Probably none of you will remember any of that except I talked about Kshetrajna. Or virtual reality. No, you remember virtual reality because that was something new you haven't heard before. It was just, wow, that was really cool. I got to get those glasses. Google glasses, you know. So maybe you'll remember that. So that's one thing. But if you actually practice, then you remember quite a bit more. You know, a certain percentage more. Oh, Maharaj said, I'm not the body. That's good. After 25 years in the Hare Krishna movement, you know, you finally heard a little bit of the philosophy. You're not the body, you're not the body, and you're not the body. That's why Prabhupada keeps repeating it, because you still haven't understood you're not the body. And so, anyway, so then maybe after class you'll be eating and thinking, this is not really me. And so you're practicing what you've heard, maybe. And then even better is when you explain it to others. You say to someone else, oh, I heard this interesting thing in class, or I heard this interesting thing when I was listening to a tape or a recording of Srila Prabhupada, and it said this. And you discuss it with others. What does it mean? Machita madgata prana paryantascha parasparam katyantascha mamnicham tushyanticha ramanticha, right? Anyone know that verse in Bhagavad Gita? Of course he does. He's Bhakti Shastri, he knows everything. So the devotees, what do? It says they sit and discuss prajalpa with each other, right? Isn't that what the verse says? Is that the right translation, Gargamuni? No. That after class they sit and talk of prajalpa, you know, like politics or how they don't like the temple president or how, whatever, you know, criticism. Of course, that deviates us from Krishna consciousness. Achahara prayasa cha prajalpa nimagraha. So this verse actually says, joking aside, that the devotees talk about Krishna katha. Machita magata panana bodhyantastha paraspara katiyantastha mam nityam. They talk about me, Krishna says. So me, you're referring to Krishna, means Krishna, Krishna's philosophy, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's service. Bas. There's nothing else. That's katiyantastha mam nityam. Tushyanti cha, and even better than that, is ramanti cha. That means this way they're satisfied. They're not hankering after anything. And not only satisfied, tushanti, ramanti, right? They're enjoying. Tushanti cha, ramanti cha. So really, that's how you can become kshetragya. That detached from the body. By preaching, explaining, sharing realizations with the devotees. This is what devotee association is meant for. Otherwise, it's like that story in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam of this nice girl. Interesting story. This girl was looking for a husband, somehow or other. And what happened is she was from a poor family. So these nice young men came to visit her house, you know, some eligible young men. So she wanted to impress them. She wanted to impress these men. So she wanted to bring them something to eat. But she didn't want the men to know that she didn't have any servants. Because in India, if you don't have any servants, it's low class. I don't know if any of you have been to... Some of you have been to India. I visited some of my friends in India. They all have like 3 or 4 servants there. They treat like slaves, basically. They just, you know, basically their children don't even know the parents. They just know the servants. It's like that. So if you don't have a servant, forget it. You might as well be an outcast in society. So anyway, so she didn't have any servants, but she didn't want the men to know because she wanted them to think that she was just like, you know, high class. So she went in the kitchen to prepare something for the servants, for not the servants, for the men. But what she didn't realize was that, just like in India, the ladies have many bangles. Here the ladies don't have bangles. Why is that? You're all Maya. So ladies would have like bangles all up their arms. You've seen this in India? Especially in Rajasthan, places like that. It's like, when they move, it's what? Ching, 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 ching. You know they're coming. Get out of the way, they're coming. So anyway, ching, ching, ching. So anyway, so this lady was in the kitchen and she wanted to prepare something. But she didn't want him to know that she didn't have servants. So all of a sudden she was preparing and there was ching, 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 ching. He said, what am I going to do? They're going to figure out I don't have any servants because they're hearing the ching, ching. Right? So what she did is, you know, she took off one bangle off of one hand, and there was still ching, 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 ching. So basically, she had to take all the bangles off except for one on each arm, and there was no more ching, ching. So why am I telling that story? You may wonder, you know, do I like ladies with bangles? No. The reason I'm telling the story is that there was this Avadhuta Brahman who was watching her, learning something from her, because as spiritually, philosophically intelligent people, we can learn something from watching anybody. Shastra Chakshus, right? That's the point. You see things through Shastra. So he was watching and he was thinking, yes, better to be alone, because when you get two devotees in Suva together, ching, 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 ching. Of course, he didn't say Suva, obviously. You know, or in Fiji, I'm sorry. Like one devotee one time told me, this is actually, he said, in Fiji, if you have... Well, this is Bengal. Let's not talk about Fiji. I don't want to insult anybody. But he said, in Bengal, if you have two people, you have two political parties. And I've actually experienced that. We have one temple that's under my jurisdiction. It's all people from Bengal. Happens to be in the United States. They've taken over. So anyway, so I call it New Bengal is the temple. So then there's always some conflict going on. I have to call them up and say, you know, listen to the leader. And they say, we don't have to do this. We're having a coup. So it's very interesting. So the point is, unless we speak Krishna Katha, it's better to be alone. Better to be alone. Just like I tell the devotees sometimes that I go to Govardhan in the summer there, which is like July, August, because nobody else comes. And there's no ching ching. It's all Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. It's nice. Hare Krishna. And, you know, after a while I'm thinking, you know, it'd be nice to see someone else. But I'm not going and simply engage in Nirjana Bhajan. You know, Prabhupada didn't appreciate that. But, you know, from some time, it's to be absorbed into the holy names, it's actually a good idea. And sometimes I see during japa period that devotees are ching-chinging too, right? One time, a newspaper reporter came to the temple, didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness, and not this temple, a temple in the United States, and wanted to see what was happening at different times in the morning program. So this newspaper reporter reported in the newspaper that the devotees have this thing called Mangalarti, and they chant, and they glorify the guru and everything. And then after that, they have social time. You understand? The ching, 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 ching. So the devotees, I see that in Mayapur all the time, devotees are walking around with their arms around each other, talking during japa period. You know, but chanting is meant for chanting. So if we have the association devotees, which we do have, it's very fortunate, we should be using it to talk about our realizations in Krishna Katha. I mean, everybody has some realizations, don't you? You know, you heard something interesting. Repeat it. Just like, but if you don't hear anything, you won't be able to repeat it. Just like every morning, I'm listening to Srila Prabhupada's class, so there's something really interesting, or I'm reading. Like I mentioned the other day that, you know, I read in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, if you want the mercy of Radharani, you've got to chant Krishna's name. You know, some things that just really inspire, and I feel like repeating it. I've spoken it like 20 times in the last few days because it inspires me. You know, there's things that inspire you. So by doing that, you get realization, you get detached from the body, and you're able to see, be a real Kshetragya, you're able to see the body from a higher platform, the platform of intelligence, and be Krishna conscious. That's the secret. Right there. Kshetragya. Become the real Kshetragya. Of course, Krishna is also Kshetragya. He's the knower of the body. He's giving us intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness according to our desire, according to our mentality. Okay, so any questions or comments? I know no one has questions. But anyway, does anyone have any questions? This is Fiji. Nobody has questions. Gurgamuni, you must have a question. You're not from Fiji. Silochan, you must have a question. You're not from Fiji either. Questions? Yes. Inspiration comes from association. From association with pure devotees. Shushrushro Shradananasya Vasudeva Gatavruji Shan Mahatseva Vibra Punyatirtana Shevanat. I mean, the bhakti comes from the association. When I read Prabhupada's books, and you know, basically I've read Prabhupada's books many times. I've read, how many times have I read You're Not the Body? You know, probably 10 million times since I joined the Hare Krishna movement. So why does it still inspire me to hear that I'm not the body from Prabhupada? Because within the words of the pure devotee are the saffron dust particles of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I can hear the same class from Prabhupada over and over again, and it's like getting energy. You know, like you have here these energy drinks, like Red Bull. You've heard of that before? Like I saw an advertisement one time here. It was a big billboard. It says, drink this, kick like a mule or something like that. Does it say that? I said, who wants to be a mule? Or a jackass, you know? They're saying, you know, drink this and become a jackass. Anyways, pretty stupid. So we have our energy drinks. You know, the chanting of the holy names and it's Prabhupada. I mean, I'm reading these books over and over and over again. You know, I carry all of Prabhupada's books with me. I have this little device called the Kindle. And it just inspires me. I read the books before I go to sleep. You know, just to put me to sleep. I open it up and I read. You know, last night I was reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita about Gopa Kumar. It's so inspiring just to think about Gopa Kumar. Gopa Kumar is the character in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that goes through the different planetary systems. And each place he's not happy because he's not fulfilled his goal or his identity of being in Vrindavan serving Krishna. So he goes to Vaikuntha. And he sees everybody worshiping Lord Narayan in the mood of awe and reverence. Just like this prayer here is a mood of awe and reverence. It's a Vaikuntha prayer. And so he sort of understands Narayan, Vishnu, is the same as Gopal, Madan Gopal, his deity. But he just can't have that intimate. You know, no one goes up and gives a hug to Narayan. Even Lakshmi just stays at his feet. You never hear about even Lakshmi hugging Narayan. and Narayan Narayan is having all these children without Lakshmi. Can you imagine? You know, you get married and you tell your wife, I can have children without you. They can just come from me, my glance and things like that. So and you just stay at my feet, massaging my feet, my dear wife. I mean, phew. So Lakshmi, you know, you hear about that Lakshmi, isn't it? So Gopa Kumar wants to give a hug to Narayan, doesn't work. And so he's becoming dissatisfied, and ultimately he goes, anyway, back to the spiritual world, and then he comes back because Radharani tells him to preach. He's actually sent on Sankirtan even after going back to the spiritual world. It's like Prabhupada. Prabhupada's in the spiritual world. So, I mean, I read these things and I get inspired. What can I say? It just gives me energy. So that's how... Without hearing, you won't get inspiration. And if you can't read, then we have plenty of recordings. You can go... Everyone's on the internet, you can go on ISKCON Desire Tree and hear the favorite sannyasi of your choice, everywhere from A to Z. A sannyasi to zebra sannyasi, you know, whatever. You know, if you don't like my classes, there's someone's class you're going to like. Prabhupada's classes are there, right? Jai. There's so much opportunity. Even if you can't read. You know, while whatever you're doing. Like, I take care of my deities, I listen. So that's how you get inspired. It's so inspiring to hear about Prabhupada. To hear about Narada Muni. Also in Bhagavatam, I'm reading about Narada Muni. To hear about Narada Muni, how he became Krishna conscious by getting the association of the sages, it just inspires me. What can I say? But if you commit offenses, you won't get inspired. If your prajalpa goes to the point of a criticizing Vaishnavas, then you can just read, and you will not get inspired. It'll just be like torture to read the Bhagavatam. It'll be to chant. Will be like taking big bowling balls instead of little japas. Right? It'll be like so torturous to chant. So don't commit offenses. So, any other questions or comments? Vishnu, do you have a question? Or? Yeah. It's hard. Because what is that? Happiness? Happiness in the mode of goodness is like poison in the beginning. It's like nectar in the end. Another example Prabhupada gives is jaundice. When one has jaundice, that's a liver disease, sugar doesn't taste good. So you force yourself to eat sugar because that's the cure, and then after a while you like the sugar. So, of course, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you're not thinking, Hare Krishna, I get to chant. You're thinking, let me go back to bed. What am I waking up at this ungodly hour of the morning for? You know, like 3:30, 4 o'clock. I mean, this is... I could be enjoying in bed. What is this enjoyment in bed anyway? So you wake up, but you know by intelligence, I will be happy if I do it. Well, just like when I go for the morning walk, I walk on the hill in the morning. In the beginning, I'm thinking, oh, this body is so heavy. You know, why should I go walking on the hill in the morning? I should just sit here in this comfortable chair and chant. But I know for my health, I should do it. And then once I start, I get more energy. It's just like that. Exercising is like that. You know, physical exercise is also the same as spiritual exercising. So you got to, that's intelligence. You know what's good for you. You know, this medicine is good for you. I got the medicine, like Bhojitan said, I got the medicine that will cure the disease from which you're suffering. So, take it. Bhavoshana Shrotra Mano Biramat Kauntama Shloka Gunanavada Kauntama Shloka Gunanavada Puman Virajeta Bina Pashugnat, right? You know the verse? Nivritta Tarsha Rupa Gimanat. This will cure your disease. Bhavoshara Shrotra, hearing and chanting about Krishna, it's a remedial measure. So, no other questions? It's actually time to greet the deities. So, we want to thank everybody for coming to class. It's a nice turnout this morning. Mangalarti was just three of us, but that's okay. At least for class. We understand everyone has to work during the day. We have to be practical. All right? All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada.